Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This evening we're going to be continuing part two of Accepting the Discipline of the Holy Spirit. And we have a couple of letters to read to you. And right now let's go to the throne of the living God to ask him to mercifully pour out his outward anointing upon me, that I may give you the message that is directed from the throne of God in the kingdom of heaven at this very moment. And I pray you, Father, that you'll open up the spiritual mind, the eyes, and the ears of those that are listening at this moment, and fill their ears and their hearts and their eyes with your word and the acceptance of it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray that the church may be edified and strengthened, and that every soul on earth can hear the gospel, that they might be saved, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From the Solomon Islands.
All right.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you. May the grace and peace of God our Father rest within your ministry. I would like to appreciate you for the materials you are sending me. May our Heavenly Father bless you abundantly through all his riches. It is wonderful to note the great works God has been doing through your gospel literature. I believe they are direct messages from God himself. As I see my students are presenting your gospel literature to our people, I was so happy to see souls are coming and saved into God's kingdom. So please, Pastor Alamo, send me many of your literature. Send many newsletters and many of your books. As for my small distributing team, we would like to take this opportunity to request you to send us 10 t-shirts so that when we are distributing your gospel literature, people must know and see your support for us. The sizes of t-shirts we need are 3 large, 4 medium, and 3 small.
Now these people definitely get t-shirts because they're all distributing. These sweatshirts, which we have also, are for those that are distributing the literature on the streets and in the workplace, wherever they are. And we're very happy to send them to you. We just got a big load of them, wholesale price, $28,000 worth. And so if you're a distributor, make sure you ask for them. And if you need more, if they start getting a little worn, well, then write for some more, call us up for some more. And where's the next letter from?
The rest of that letter?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I shall be very grateful in heart if we receive the materials. May God bless you abundantly in your ministry. Thank you. And Solomon.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
The next from Los Angeles. Requesting message tapes and gospel literature. Thanks to Tony Alamo's worldwide ministry for reaching and teaching all over the world. Since my brother Dwayne Bull has been with your ministry, he has continued to share the word of life with me. When I don't understand, he is able to break it down and explain it to me. It is evidence of a great teacher and is a wonderful blessing. God's miracles will be evident until the end. Thank you for the open arms of receiving him and all who want to serve the Lord. May God continue to bless you, Tony Alamo, and the Christian ministries. Kindest regards, Deborah from Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, I just can't understand why more people, especially those that are out there homeless, why they want to just choose their own portion in this world rather than accepting the portion that the Lord God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ offers everyone. People don't have to be on the streets or out of work. God, there's no employment in the gospel field. There are people that have been in this ministry for, I've been in this ministry 41 years, and there are people that have been in the ministry with me now for 36 years. I was talking to some of them today, and one of the construction men that just recently joined our church to help out in the building and also mainly to serve the Lord. He was asking some of the people that have been here in this ministry for 35 and 36 years, he said, is Tony a cruel taskmaster? And they just started laughing. They said, just the opposite. And they said, he said, are you happy here? He says, they all just started laughing. And he said, I was at your church here in this town yesterday, and he said, he was saying how much they love it here, those that have been here for many, many years. And so I'm sure that you would love it too if you really love the Lord and realize that you have to, no matter where you go, you have to keep rules, of course. But when people are serving the Lord, you never have to ever eating or a place to live ever again. You just don't. And all the benefits of I believe that there's millionaires out in the world that don't get the same benefits that the people in this church do. Because when somebody gets sick, they don't have to work. They just, somebody comes in and helps them. The food is cooked for you. The dishes are done for you. And you may be elected to help fix the food or wash the dishes. You don't know. Everybody works or they don't eat unless you're ill. And there are people in the church that are too ill to work. But I don't understand the reluctance of people thinking that there's something better out in the world rather than in the house of the Lord. Do you have another letter?
Yes, an email from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Last night I was at Target. When I got back to my car, your literature, Mass Suicide, was on my windshield. At first I got angry, but then I stuck it in my shopping bag, and when I got home, I read it. I'd like 20 copies to give to my friends and family. Would it be possible for you to send them to me? Thank you very much for the wonderful information in that pamphlet. What a wake-up call! Exclamation point.
Right, it's just amazing, too. You know, so many people get irritated when God has sent us out into the streets to put this different literature that the Lord has given to me on their windshields, because the Lord does want people to be awake now, especially just before he comes back to earth again. And the literature does tell of the different plagues here on earth today that are coming from the Lord. And how will you know if a preacher isn't sent? And oh yeah, nobody, the car is more precious than your soul. No, it isn't. Your car is no more, it's just a very nice place for us to be able to distribute the literature very quickly to millions of people. But that's how we are to evangelize the world. So many people don't go to church, but the Lord wanted me to take the church the message of his saving grace, his saving power to you, and to tell you what's going on in the world and to tell you how it is for you to be able to get into the kingdom of God. Is that the last one? Okay, now, part two, accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
There will be no such thing in heaven as insanity, drugs, adultery, fornication, whoremongers, homosexuality, lesbianism, dangers, unrest, Satan, liars, thieves, extortionists, con artists, or any other abomination.
No IRS, no bad judges, only just judgment and justice there. There's no wars or no rumors of wars, nothing but peace and tranquility. There's no evil people in heaven. If you're an evil person and you refuse, just get yourself an eternal flame in the lake of fire. You will not like that at all. You'll be so tormented. The Bible says the place is filled with torments, plural. Unbelievable. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of anyone. The hope in hell that is prepared for by God for those who hate his word and hate to keep his word and hate his name and are trying to change Christmas into happy holidays or merry holidays rather than Merry Christmas. You people are in trouble a lot more than you have any idea. I pray God wakes you up. Okay, then continue on.
Medical agencies, in cooperation with the government, have extracted the brains of dead men whom they say were incorrigible, criminally insane monsters, murderers, and rapists. They tell us there is nothing to differentiate the appearance of their brains from the brains taken from the bodies of people who have led what they deem to be normal lives. Quote, we see nothing different at all, unquote. They foolishly spend so much money and time on such research.
On such stupid research. It's not a thing of the flesh. But serving the devil or serving the Lord, serving God is a spiritual matter. And serving Satan, such as murdering, committing adultery, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, lying, stealing, murdering, abortions, all these types of things, fornication, adultery. These are all spiritual matters. And you're not going to find any difference in a person's brain because you can't see the spirit. It's invisible. You can't see the spirit of Satan either. You can see him operating, people that are possessed by him operating in the world, and you can see the spirit of God only operating in people that are doing the Lord's will in this world. That's how you're able to see the Lord and the devil. The Lord says he wants us to do his will, his works, so that he, his presence, can be manifested in this wicked world full of people who are manifesting their father's works, which is the devil. You can see the evil works that people are doing. You got people on television that call themselves kings and presidents, and they smile and they say, well, you know, we believe it's all right to, you know, bomb places, and we got to go over there in the name of republicanism, democracy, and all the other isms. We just want people to believe the way we do. But the Lord gives everybody a free will, not to kill. Not to kill, because the Bible says then we have a lawless society, which you see today, because the satanic Antichrist government believes in letting criminals go and condemning people that are of the Lord. That's why there's no death penalty anymore. They believe that we should be merciful and let a lawless society exist. The Lord doesn't want that to happen. He wants murderers to be put to death. The death penalty. That is absolutely, has never changed. The law has never changed. And so when you allow these people to live, and then in about 5 or 6 years they go before the parole board, and the parole board says, well, you know, it depends on who you kill. Now, if you kill a government agent, of course, one of the antichrists, you're to be put to death immediately. But if you just kill a black person, or a Jew, well, yeah, you'll be up for parole in about 5 years, all right? Because after all, a Jew, I am, and or Christian, you can kill Christians, that's okay, or black people. Well, black people, Christians, and Jews, they're nothing but dogs anyways, but they think. But my God, you know, God says that the government, the law is for everybody, amen?
Amen.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, purple, whatever, if you kill somebody, you're supposed to die, amen? Amen. If you murder them, not kill them. Kill them, a lot of people are killed accidentally. And the Lord allows, you know, a place for such as that. He used to provide a city for them to go to where they could escape judgment until, for a season. But if you murder somebody, those type of people were to be stoned to death. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible that the law has changed. Now, if a person murders somebody, whether it's a judge, a president, or a shoeshine boy on the street, they're all supposed to die. That's just like Janet Reno and Bill Clinton said that they take full responsibility for burning those babies up. They try to make it look like it wasn't them that did it. Why then did they say they take full responsibility for it? They should have stood judgment for that. I mean, who are they? Well, of course, you know, the law is such that if you're in with the satanic in crowd, they can just, you know, sit on anything, you know. Let's not get too hasty here. Let's just transport all these homosexual priests over to the Vatican and hide them down there in the catacombs for a few years until this all blows over, is their doctrine. And let's just, you know, once over easy with that. But my God, it's like, or if they cheat somebody, if they steal things, if they commit homosexual acts with little boys. My God. I mean, they pervert little children. And the government has laws that protect that sort of thing. You know, if you're high officials in the government, you'll get by. But let it be the, you know, somebody like Michael Jackson, you know, well, then he just ripped him over the coals. Why doesn't you people, the voice of Satan, priest and this cardinal, rat singer, over the coals? They said that he just got in, he was just served with three warrants for homosexuality. He's the new pope, you know, for sexual affairs with little boys. Now, come on, how come you media don't say anything about that? See, there's no judgment or justice or equity like the Lord has. In heaven, there's perfect justice and judgment and equity for everybody. There's no sin, no crime there, no judgment like this for scuzzy people. That just because of the fact that they're friends of the Vatican, that they can get by with such stuff as this, or friends of somebody in politics. It's just really sick. But heaven is coming, and hell is coming too, and the lake of fire is coming. Hopefully you all get saved, you people out there. But if you want to remain wicked, know this, that your soul is going to be in hell. And you're going to be in torment, and you'll say that you made the decision to not allow the Lord to swallow up your will to where your will is the same as His. You think that by just living your own life is your own life. It isn't. You're allowing Satan to live your life for you. You're either led by the Lord or Satan or the devil. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, pick up the Bible and read it. That's the Word of God. And we know it's true because all the signs that the Lord said would be that have never been on the face of the earth before until now, they're all happening. Wake up. Then what else?
If they would only believe the Bible, which tells us that this behavior is caused by invisible demon spirits that even the most powerful microscopes cannot see. These minds have been made the strongholds of Satan by their receiving doctrine other than the Word of God, and by their refusing to submit their lives unto the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Their lives would have been radically changed for the good, not just by hearing the Word of God, but by doing what it says, which again is the submitting themselves to the discipline of the Holy Spirit, both inwardly and outwardly. The devil cannot be defeated by carnal men or carnal weapons. Unregenerated law enforcement and government officials can never control undisciplined demonic spirits because most of them are not born of the Spirit themselves. Because of this, they have no power or knowledge of God within them to deal with this invisible satanic treachery. Secular agencies, whether governmental, medical, political, law enforcement, or military, along with all other secular, unregenerative humanity, have no power to fight the demonic powers of this world that are causing people to commit vicious crimes. They cannot fight that which they cannot see or understand. Even the people who are committing these crimes say, quote, "I have never done such an evil thing as this in my entire life," unquote, Either they can't figure out why they did such things, or else they and the world system believe they should be completely excused for what they have done because some psychologist deems them to be insane. God does not allow leniency for insanity, because insanity is a satanic spiritual condition.
Right, it's a demon possession. Then what?
A condition that people seemingly love to live with. If they would only accept the Lord with his power to live in them and would discipline themselves to be disciplined by him, they would never commit the evil atrocities as we see today. It is written, quote, "Neither give place to the devil," unquote, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. They believe whatever the devil by his spirit has planted in their unregenerated brains. Christ alone by the Spirit of God was able to defeat the devil and cast him out. Only those who have the triune God living in them are able to successfully fight these powers and teach others how to destroy the devil's power over them because, quote, "the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds," unquote, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Unregenerated people don't have the triune Spirit of God in them. They need to be born again of the Spirit. Jesus said, quote, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you," unquote, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus makes this statement to the entire secular and spiritual realm, quote, "Without me ye can do nothing," unquote, John chapter 15, verse 5. The only real and true answer is found in God's Word in Bible scripture, and it can only be delegated by those who have received all of the Word of God, have willingly been tried and tested by offensive people, places, and obstacles arranged for them by the Holy Spirit, and have successfully come through these trials and tests because they initially submitted themselves under the discipline of the Holy Spirit, both inwardly and outwardly, so that they would have enough of the power of God in them to withstand all the tricks, crafty devices, and deceptions of the devil. Today we see many penalties, persecutions, and trials doled out to all those who preach such truth of divine nature from God's Word. The people of the world are being disciplined by evil forces into being rebellious to God's Word, His way of life, His will, and His law of eternal life. The Lord stated in the New Testament, quote, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill," unquote, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This means he came to show the world that, with the help of the discipline of the Holy Spirit living and working both in and out of them, they can be more than conquerors over their once undisciplined fleshy ways in this totally unspiritual, undisciplined, self-willed, and godly world. If we are to have an overcoming, powerful spiritual life in Christ Jesus, we must begin accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit today. For those of us who are saved, there is both the inward discipline of the Holy Spirit and the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. The unsaved are mostly outwardly disciplined by the Holy Spirit because they receive little or nothing inwardly from the Holy Spirit. The inward function of the Holy Spirit for those of us who are saved is, quote, "the anointing of the Holy Spirit," unquote. The discipline of the Holy Spirit I am presently writing of here is the outward discipline. That is, what the Holy Spirit does in our outward world or in the environment around us. The Holy Spirit arranges many different circumstances in our lives, using different people and various objects or things to discipline us. He is always disciplining us because it is necessary. The outward disciplining of the Holy Spirit is the chief work of God on our behalf, with the exception of the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. These two, the inward and the outward, comprise almost the total work of the Holy Spirit towards the complete development of the complete spiritual man. Again, the law of life is contained in the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, says this in these words, quote, "the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus," unquote. We know by God's Word that, quote, "Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God," unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, we know that Christ is one with God. He is a combination of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Quote, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," unquote, Colossians 2, verse 9. Jesus said, quote, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," unquote, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. So if Jesus, who is also the Holy Spirit, is in us, if we are born of the Spirit, He can, by His power living and working in us, both inwardly and outwardly, set us free from the power of sin. Also, the power of Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, can put to death the deeds of the human body. Christ, the Holy Spirit, will also guide us into all truth. So if we accept the discipline of the Holy Spirit, we may most certainly live according to the life of Christ, both by our being in the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit living in us. Quote, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. These are the things the Holy Spirit does inwardly for those of us who are saved, born of the Spirit. This is the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit inside our human bodies. It is written, quote, all things work together for good to them that love God, unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This means that no matter what the daily events are that take place in our lives, they are certainly for our own good. Quote, all things are for our good, unquote, because these outward events are for our growth and depth in Christ. They are good because they are the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Again, for us to continue in God's life, God's Spirit, we need to know that the events happening around us are for our good, for our spiritual growth. We need to keep this scripture in mind all the time. It will give us strength whenever discouragement, trials, tribulations, persecutions, or any other type of seeming loss comes our way. Just know that something good and godly is being done on your behalf.
Well, one thing for sure is you're getting stronger. I mean, you have to go through storms. We can find out just how weak we are or how strong we are when we go through storms. We find out how strong or weak a building is, how weak or strong trees are, how weak or strong telephone poles or anything. After the storm is over, you're able to look at it real good. Amen?
Amen.
You can find out how strong the dam was over there in New Orleans. It wasn't very strong, was it? It caved in. Well, so we can see it needed to be strengthened, so something good came out of that storm. It would have been better for them in the first place if they hadn't built a humongous city like that below sea level. Amen?
Amen.
And then build a little tiny wall like that, a weak one at that, to hold back the tide. All right, go ahead.
Hold fast to this scripture and the many other scriptures which tell us to have faith and put all our trust in God's wisdom for mankind's spiritual development.
And Jesus is the wisdom and power of God. So, because Jesus, the wisdom of God, the Bible says, because you can't get saved without Him, so He's the wisdom of God. And He can keep us from falling. That is the Word of God, if we keep the Word of God in us. So that means that He's the power and the wisdom of God. So the Bible says that with Moses came the law, and with Jesus came what? Grace and truth. Well, grace means power, and truth is the whole Word of God. And what else? Let's go.
The Holy Spirit's work of outward discipline and inward movement, with His leadership and His power in us, means we may have the Lord's power within us to be lifted far above every temptation, trial, tribulation, persecution, slander, disappointment, separation, and grief. The discipline of the Holy Spirit is our boot camp training and our daily reproof, which God helps us endure so that we may gain more faith in His power and grow in stature spiritually.
Yeah, if you're not willing to go through boot camp, I mean, you're going to be in the war. All of us are in a war. Satan is attacking us. The Bible says that in the last days there would be seducing spirits, and they're attacking every one of us. Some of us will stand up and fight and come against them, and we'll go through boot camp and put on the whole armor of God and be armed with the Word of God. And some of us will just, it's just nothing is true like that, like God said. So what you're doing, in essence, is calling God a liar. And that causes people to go to hell. Some people say, well, I can't understand why God, a good God, would send anyone to hell. But in reality, by you disbelieving Him as Eve did, He said, the devil and the devil's people, they say, you're not going to hell. There's no such thing as a hell. By doing that, you're calling God a liar, and he doesn't take that lightly. That's such a heavy thing to say against God that you spend eternity in hell for it. Because if you're thinking he's a liar, then you're going to all kinds of, you're going to sin, and some of you are going to sin a lot more than others. But if you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all according to the Lord. So if you don't put up a fight against the different things that the Lord said is sin, then you'll spend eternity with the world's biggest sinner, Satan and his angels, and you will not have any mercy, because you're not sowing any mercy. You're not sowing the word of God into the world so that others can be saved. All right, continue, please.
Quote, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Right, tried with fire means that the Lord allows these environments to happen to you. You go through sometimes sickness because he's trying to wake you up, like a wake-up call. He wants you to put you through fire to check out your mettle, to see if you're going to throw in the towel. He wants to find out how valuable heaven is to you, how precious it is. Is it precious enough for you to straighten up and do what the Lord says to do? Or is it just saying, yeah, you're just discouraging, you're just going to go and do whatever you want to do? Well, you have your own free will. And a free will is very precious in the eyes of God. He wants to know that you choose to make your will his. He wants you to discipline yourself, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. But if you just let your mind roll on and let your feelings, your flesh, your desires, your own ideas, and all these other things, the lusts in this world, rule the things that you do, well, then you're surely going to spend eternity in hell. Now, the Lord died and has risen from the grave, from hell and from the grave, and has ascended on high to show that he's God and that the things that he said is true. Now, it's up to you to pick yourself up by the word of God and let him live in you to give you the power to do the things that he commands for you to do. He said, you are my friend if you do everything I say. This Charles, what's his name, preacher, on, he says, God and Jesus, which Jesus is God, loves us unconditionally. Well, he says, no, you're my friend only if. That's conditional, my friend. Amen?
Amen.
And he says go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen unto you. What happens is the demon that was cast out of you, if you can come back, and then the Lord moves in, and then you decide to just start living the old life again, well, then the Lord leaves you. You say, no, the Lord says he'll never leave or forsake you. But you left the Lord. He makes no provision for that. If you leave the Lord, then he's just going to stand there and let you leave him. He says, that's your will. You left him. And for that, the Bible says that there remains no more sacrifice. Therefore, there's no more forgiveness. And there's no more forgiveness for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to hate God's word and to hate the people of God, and to say, take the Christ out of Christmas. And to take the word God, the name of God, and the name of Christ out of the courtrooms and out of everyday life. He said the people want everything to lie in darkness. You will spend eternity in the lowest bowels of hell, and then when hell is cast into the lake of fire, when death and hell is cast in there, you'll be cast in with it, with Satan and his evil angels. Okay, let's continue.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, quote, being tried, unquote, is the term used in the Bible for being tested. We are also tested so that we might know, by the increase of God's power living and working, that we are more than able to resist every temptation and to tolerate every outward obstacle, condition, or environment through the strength we receive by disciplining ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit both inwardly and outwardly.
Right. How do we know that he that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world if we don't get put through some fire? That makes me rejoice when I get put through some fire because I know that he lives in me. Amen?
Amen.
Because I don't fall away. But when I see people that fall away, then I know the Lord mustn't live in them, or else they just love the world and love just haphazard type existence rather than the kingdom of heaven. They don't care. They don't believe that there's a hell. Therefore, they don't believe the word of God. And those that don't believe, the Bible says those that believe are saved and those that disbelieve are damned. And they are damned. You see them falling away like when they don't believe. By faith we're saved. Faith comes by hearing the word. And you hear the word when you read it. If you the Spirit, if you hear what the Spirit says unto churches, well then, and you hear what the Lord says, and you are eager to hear it and want to do what he says, then you're saved. Stop doing that and you're lost. All right, then what? And you're damned. And then what?
To resist temptation or turn away from it is the same as having victory over that trial or temptation. Quote, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried.
Because God doesn't want any sinful person in heaven. So he's going to allow the storm to hit. He says you got to build your house on a rock rather than on sand or below sea level. Amen?
Amen.
Because he wants you to be able to... Now, building your house, in other words, the temple of God is you, your body. On solid rock means that you're pouring the word of God into you. That's the cement or the concrete that makes you powerful to where no matter what trial or tribulation that comes your way, that you're going to be able to stand and make it into heaven. And so we have to go through these tests to know how much God has accomplished in us and how much we have allowed ourselves to be disciplined, how much we have disciplined ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. We have to discipline ourselves to get up in the morning and get out of bed and brush your teeth and take a shower and comb your hair and put your clothes on, your shoes and your socks, and go out into the world or whatever you do. And if you just lay around, you're going to starve to death. You got to get up and go to work. I notice one thing. If I don't do anything, nothing gets done. But if I get up and go to work, hundreds of things get done every day.
Amen.
Thousands of them sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
But if I did like what a lot of people do, nothing would be accomplished. I love to see day of the things that were accomplished. Out of bed and got up. And all right, and then what else?
They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God, unquote. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. We must endure this discipline, this temporary hardness, so that we may, at the end of our trial, appear both here and Job tells it this way, quote, he, God, he hath tried, quote, 3, verse 10. Here is, quote, discipline. But it is only temporary, and the end result will bring us about the greatest and richest godly condition in us.
Right, the tsunami didn't last forever, did it?
No.
What happens, a lot of people just thought, oh, there's a lot of big waves. So they started running towards the waves, and then all of a sudden they saw that the waves were taller than they were, and they got caught in it. The thing to do, the Bible says, to flee the very appearance of evil. Amen?
Amen.
And he tells you that if, you know, you've got to walk in wisdom. All right, praise the Lord. Then what else?
Quote, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, unquote. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, original Greek. If we will only accept a little amount of the discipline of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual results within us will also be little, and our spiritual condition will be puny or eternally fatal. The most dangerous discipline. The saints of God will go through many trials, many tribulations, and many sorrows. After having gone through the storms of misery, some of us will experience a time of tranquility, easiness, and peace with some wealth and little or no criticism. We will mostly hear the voice of those who wish us well and those who praise us, not the voices of false accusers and those who suppress us. The Holy Spirit arranges such a prosperous environment for some chosen ones to test the amount of inward power they have to endure such exaltation and abundance after having received the inward discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Now, sometimes it's far more hard to receive that blessings and just everything is fine because people start relaxing and they forget that they're still in a war. Sometimes the blessings will overtake you. That's what it means about it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a rope to go through the eye of a needle. So if you get riches, you get pretty smug. And that's but Paul said that he's learned how to be poor and rich at the same time. Amen?
Amen.
He knows how to abound and how to be abased. So you have to learn both sides of the spectrum. Okay, go ahead.
Faith is added to our lives after we see that the power of God within us is more than powerful enough to pass through these trials of oppression, tribulations, temptations, losses, and sorrows triumphantly. Many Christians can endure poverty, trials, tribulation, and suffering, but find it more difficult to continue receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit when they become prosperous and begin receiving applause, compliments, and praise. They find it difficult to continue in the discipline of the Holy Spirit both inwardly and outwardly when they become wealthy, exalted, or promoted. Many people are only able to continue receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit when they are being oppressed and surrounded by painful sorrow.
As you know, you got to get a hold of the Lord then. When you feel there's no need to get a hold of the Lord, it's when you're actually spiritually insane. Because we have to have the Lord with us, whether we're in the valley or on the mountaintop. Amen?
Amen.
And your mountaintop is very dangerous. So we know when we're in the valley and the floods are coming, oh God, you yell out to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
When you're on the mountaintop and the wind is blowing through your hair and you're standing up there triumphantly like Moses, you know, and you picture yourself that, my George, you are Moses, you know? Or maybe you're Jesus, you know, an Antichrist. Or maybe the Duke of Earl or somebody. And then you start getting into things that you should not be into. You must stay into the Lord, no matter whether in the valley of the shadow of death or on the mountaintop. Remember that. That's a dangerous spot to be, is on the mountain. It's nice, but don't kick back too much, my friend. All right, then what else?
Many people are able to receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit arranges this type of environment for them. But very few people of God ever continue receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit so they can survive an environment of prosperity where everything in their life seems easy. Many disciples become so distracted by worldly things, which are spiritually unprofitable, that it becomes difficult or even impossible for them to receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit, that is, for them to continue serving the Lord. They refuse to continue serving God with a humble spirit. They refuse to discipline themselves to read, pray, and do all the other things God tells them to do.
Yeah, because they figure, well, we're out of boot camp right now, and now we're kind of like civilians again. No, you must always be in the army of the Lord. You must always carry the cross until you must continue to the end, or thou shalt not be saved. Thou, only those that continue to the end in a humble way shall be saved, all right, to the very end. Because luxury may come your way, and God will bless you if you do well, but watch out. Okay, then what else?
In other words, they fall away from the Lord. In order for our inner weaknesses and strengths to be revealed to us, we need the Holy Spirit to test us with an environment where we are agitated. Again, sometimes the Holy Spirit will arrange for us to be in an environment where the people we are most irritated with surround us, or to work and live in a place that we hate.
Yeah, when that happens, praise and thank the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's for your own benefit. Go through it. The other day, somebody shoved somebody in the church, and the other one hit him. And I said, you know, that cannot exist here. Let's not see that again. Amen?
Amen.
Or you'll have to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. The Lord will have me put you out in with the Gentiles. And then you'll be not so haughty there. Some people you push around on the outside in the world, they're liable to do something more to you than just hit you with their fist. Okay, then what else?
There are a multitude of other obstacles that require God's presence in us to overcome them. So, dearly beloved, quote, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy, unquote. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. If we want God's eternal life, we must discontinue our old self-life. Disciplining ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit mortifies or deadens our old self-life.
Right, and our self-life gets reactivated when we are in prosperous position. Oh, we're able to have whatever you want. Eat whatever you want. Have whatever kind of car you want. You can do a lot of dangerous things you can wind up doing. And so you must stay humble. Carry the cross. Otherwise, you're going to hit bottom. And when you do, you may never be able to come back up again. Just stay in that position no matter what kind of environment you're in. Don't forget, like, if you know, a good thing for you to do is go down to the ghetto and start witnessing down there. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if you got millions of dollars, well, I can't allow myself to be killed if I've got millions of dollars. No, Lord, because I want to live a life of luxury. And you billionaires out there, well, I've got billions of dollars. I can't even go out. It's too dangerous for me, a billionaire or a multi-billionaire, to go outdoors. Now, I have it made up here in this penthouse of mine, and I've got guards all over the place. But do you have guards against the Grim Reaper, the King of Terrors? He come into your, he go right past your guards, through the front door, back door, through the ceiling, anywhere he wants. Go down the chambers, the hallways of your house or palace, wherever you're living, and walk through your bedroom door and stand right over your bed while you lie asleeping. And he'd just be looking at you, this King of Terrors. And then all of a sudden you open your eyes and he says, hi. Hi. It's your time now, billionaire. Think about that. It's going to happen one of these days. Amen?
Amen.
Hi. Time's up. And there's no way that you can keep your spirit in you. What are you going to do? Offer, slip the angel a few $100, you know, to stop? Stop, please. You can have a billion. No, he says, hi. That's just it. Okay, so don't think your money's going to buy your way or get it to where the Grim Reaper, the King of Terrors, won't pull your spirit right out of your husk. Okay, then what?
Disciplining ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit mortifies or deadens our old self-life. This makes it possible for us to continue minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, with God's eternal life living and working in us. We need to realize that all the people, all the places, all the obstacles, and all the situations that the Holy Spirit has arranged for our environment are for our good. We need to thank God for the overcoming spiritual strength we receive from the discipline He arranges for us to receive. No matter what is happening to us, we need to know that it is the Lord. We need to just kick back and trust it is the Lord, knowing that when God does something, it is good for us. It is exactly what we need. Quote, all things work together for good to them that love God, unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
You may say, Lord, can't we stay till tomorrow so I can make out a will? No. No, no time for that. Come on, let's go. And that's it. Then what?
People having murder, hatred, or lusts of any kind in their hearts can have victory over the hatred, the murder, the lust, and even other temptation by simply trusting that God's word is true enough to do what he says so that he might change their environment, then elevate them to a higher status of usefulness to him. All these things that aggravate us so much are according to God's word for our good and are exactly what we need. Diamonds in the rough. We are like diamonds in the rough. When God finds us, we are still covered with all manner of worthless, stony substances. All these must be subdued and mortified so that first the diamond can be seen. Then it can be shaped and polished by God's processing. This hurts during the time it is happening to us, but when God has finished his work in us, we shall shine more brilliantly than any diamond, because he can then use us by doing his work in us and through us to give him more glory than anything else he ever created could do. It is by this very process that we all become the working members of the glorious body of Christ, his bride. If we are to enter heaven, we must all go through this godly process so we can be partakers in God's eternal life and power. This is the Holy Spirit preparing you to live eternally with God in his heavenly kingdom. We shouldn't despise that which is eternally good for us. The Lord states, quote, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, he disciplines, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth, unquote. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Quote, there is therefore now no condemnation to only them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, unquote. That is, to those who discipline themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is the real gospel that the world should not despise. It is the life of self-discipline, self-sacrifice. Jesus commanded that after we are saved, we must, quote, deny ourselves and take up the cross daily and follow him, unquote. Luke chapter 9, verse 23.
Right, whether we were prosperous or not. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
If we will do this, we will be members of the army that never breaks rank, the army that never falls out of the circle of God's heavenly light or pulls itself away, turning back to the dark, undisciplined life of this present condemned world where the only thing to look forward to is a certain death and hell with its eternal lake of fire. A place where, quote, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, unquote. A place where people will, quote, gnaw their tongues for pain, unquote. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. The Lord cannot work in members who are not willing to be broken. If we become broken in our own human spirit by accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit both inwardly and outwardly, the triune God, by his Holy Spirit, can not only work himself into us through our brokenness, he can work himself out of us through that same brokenness unto others, so that they too might be saved. Then they too can do his will in this world by allowing Christ with his Father by the Spirit to live God's life in them in this present world and win the souls he died for. Are you willing to let God live his life in you and through you? Are you willing to discipline yourself enough to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, so that you may be able to turn away from every temptation and be victorious in every conflict you have now and shall have in the future with the devil and his evil demons? Christ with the Father by the Holy Spirit can be conceived into your human spirit with his eternal life and overcoming power this minute. Begin living the victorious life of Christ now by making it your business to start disciplining yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. The first step is, without hesitation, to say this prayer.
All right, now, those of you that are driving an automobile or whatever you're doing, just stop for a minute to get your soul right with the Lord. I mean, your soul is the most valuable thing in this entire universe. The Lord died. Whether only one person would accept his gift of immortality to spend eternity fellowshipping with him forever or not. Now, what you need to do is just say this prayer to the Lord. Hopefully your automobile is stopped. If you can't stop, we'll still say it anyway. And say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God," say it to God, "have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word is the Bible. Therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory to God." Now write for us for literature or email us. Our email is
alamoministries.com.
And or fax us. Our fax number is area code
479-782-7406.
All right. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 398. Well, what is the P.O. Box number? We've changed everything, so go ahead.
P.O. Box 6467.
First is Tony Alamo Christian Ministry, P.O. Box what?
6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
And if you have any questions, just ask them, and I'll be more than happy to answer them. And now the next piece of literature that we'll be doing is, that's what it's all about, Bessie. She was sent, you're going to love this testimony. This is powerhouse. This is really powerhouse, godly things that happened from this lady. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Lama saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.